Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Merengatang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All fellas with monkey sounds in there and called go.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. Welcome in. Happy Wednesday. Sun's out, guns out. What a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day in our area.
Neither one of us have our guns out.
Nope. It's still not warm, but it's not raining, so I'll take it in late-ish December.
Neither one of us is mid-ish. An Oregonian right now. Today.
1 week until Christmas. This is your 1 week warning.
Ooh, I gotta go shopping.
Yeah, that's why I gave the 1 week warning there, huh?
Well, okay, though. I'm still confused on how my family's doing shopping this year.
You're going to be there on the 23rd. I know it.
Oh, and 24th.
I was giving you a little bit of grace there by saying the 23rd, you're going to be like, it's Monday. I can go get it done. And you'll get a couple things done, and then...
I can't go on Monday. I'm here working on Monday. I'll go on Tuesday.
Yeah, I've been there, buddy. I've been in your shoes where you're doing all the fill-in stuff, and you're like, I got time. And then all of a sudden, you're like, nope, wait, this is the busiest I've been in a really long time.
Well, okay, how about I'm going to come to you, because you are my radio mentor.
That's right.
You're my mentor in life. So anytime that I mess up, just blame Dusty Hera. Feel free to text him or email him or call him.
Yep.
Many have. My family is doing like a Secret Santa this year.
Oh.
However, I don't think that the person running Secret Santa understands that Santa's supposed to be a secret.
Oh, boy.
There was a text into the group chat of everyone and who they were getting gifts for.
Yeah, that's when you have to do auto redraw. This is not how the secret of Secret Santa works.
Right.
Were you in charge of Secret Santa?
No, I was not. No. Do I look like someone who's ever been in charge of anything?
I have to ask the qualifying question.
I've never once been in charge of anything ever in the history of my life.
Fair.
But here's the other problem, though.
Mm-hmm.
The person in charge of Secret Santa, they don't have me. However, they keep asking me questions about things that I enjoy. So they're clearly getting me something.
Okay.
But the whole point of Secret Santa was that not a lot of the youngs have money, so we're just doing like one gift for one person. But if you're going to break the rules of Secret Santa, am I obligated to get you a gift? Although I'm playing by the rules that you created by not buying you a gift.
No. These are the rules. You're playing by them rules.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Which is Secret Santa. Is it a parent, though, that has organized this? You said it's your family. Are your parents involved in this?
They're not running it. This is Secret Santa run by China.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So that just tells me that your brother got you, and that's your brother's beautiful bride, China.
Yes. Not the country.
Not the country.
My lovely sister-in-law. She's great.
All this tells me is that your brother got you, and she's obviously doing the shopping.
See, I don't remember, because I got him. I don't know that he got me. Although she is definitely doing his shopping. He's not shopping at all. He's worse than I am, and I'm not good.
Yet somehow he's married and you're single.
He has hair. I don't.
He got that.
That's
done.
The qualifying.
He got that done.
Yeah.
He got that done.
Well, you know what they say. If you can't find love at a Dutch Bros, I don't know what to tell you.
Dude.
That's my biggest issue. I don't go to Dutch Bros.
Duh, you need to. Maybe you should start slinging some sugary drinks.
A career change? Like, why did Ortner leave 1080 the Fan?
No.
He's trying to get married. He's working at the Dutch Bros down the street.
Dude, there were several girls I went to college with who dropped out of college because they became managers of Dutch Brothers. Now they own the Dutch Brothers and they are doing very well for themselves.
That is the path that my brother is on. He is the manager of the Ellensburg Dutch Bros, and within a year or so, man, he should be getting his own.
Dude, good for him.
He's killing it, man.
Yeah.
He is killing it.
They got a good little business plan there, and that's why they have like 900 of them now, because all their employees work up, and they're like, all right, yep, we're going to spread that Dutch love everywhere.
Right. Well, and they're all, I mean, it annoys me, but they're all really nice.
Sure. Sure. Ooh, great question coming in on the Vancouver Ford text line. Will, aren't you just getting Dollar Tree steaks for everyone again this year?
I haven't shopped at the dollar store in like 5 months. I think I'm out of the dollar store.
Dude.
I think I've promoted my... Dude,
whoa,
I'm
Will's
growing
making
up.
Money. Times are good.
I'm growing...
Times are okay. Good.
Times are okay. Look, dude, we bought some new joggers. Like, we're caring you. About how we look now.
All right, do you own more than one pair of shoes? No.
Yeah.
No.
Well,
that's
yes.
No,
no I do.
A,
I do. No,
no
I do.
The pause tells me no.
No,
you're
I do.
You're still a one pair of shoes guy.
No,
that's
I have,
okay.
I have a dress shoe and I have a workout shoe, but the workout shoe is the old
everyday
shoe. Yeah.
Okay.
Look, we're 27. We still haven't bought our own shoe, but we're buying our own pants.
Hey, good for you, man.
And we're figuring out what our waist size is.
Have you ever, you're figuring that out?
Well, I used to be big and fat, and yeah. No, I'm not. And so sometimes I remember the big and fat size, and then I buy it, and they don't. The it okay. doesn't work.
Yeah, you need to stop shopping on the internet while drunk. That's probably the first step to that. Is that I know how that brain is working. Will, you're going, oh yeah, I need new pants, and then you're like, oh, yep, I sobered up and realized not that size anymore.
As far as drunk online things go, that's one of the better things that can happen.
Yeah.
I got drunk and bought 9 new t-shirts. And I'll tell you right now,
yeah.
This is one of them.
Hey.
I think it fits all right.
There you go. Good for you.
We
good
figured out the shirt you. Size.
Yeah, that's something, though, when you say, you know, that's one of the worst things. I am so glad that I did not date during the world of Tinder. That would have been trouble. For me,
it was a problem for dudes.
That, my goodness gracious,
that's it.
Has that world slowed down? Are people going back and meeting in person again?
No, no. I mean, there's just different flavors. I mean, sometimes you know, if someone's looking nice, you got to give an Instagram story. Like that happens.
Oh, so that yeah,
that
you
leads
Travis
to dates.
Hunter it. You Travis Hunter it. You know that's how he met his fiance.
That doesn't shock me. Also, she's getting slammed on the internet right now.
She really is. She never looks happy.
No, and she continues to step in it. Like, every time that she tries to, like, change it, it's like, stop fighting with idiots online. Just let it go. It'll go away if you let it go.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people that are like, oh, she's just in it for the money. Dude, he started sliding into her DMs when he was in high school, and she had graduated from college.
There's an age difference of that much? I thought they were like within a couple of years of each other.
Yeah, I went and I did some digging on this because the math wasn't mathing, right? She's she is a few years older than him. I think she's 2 years older than him. And she graduated from college in 2 years. Yeah. Right.
She do like a running start situation? She get an AA from Clark College?
Well,
is she a penguin?
No, she went, I think it was like Kennesaw State or something like that. And he saw her on Instagram, slid in her DMs when he was in high school, and she was like, no. And then,
it would be worrisome if she said yes.
Well, no, shortly after that, like after a few months, they were, texting, quote, just as friends, right? He was 19 in high school.
Just as friends.
Yeah. And then they ended up going on a date, whatever. And she followed him to Jackson, Mississippi.
Yeah, I mean, she...
I mean,
yeah.
He was the number one recruit in the country. And
he was supposed to go to Florida State.
She probably Googled him and was like, oh, yeah, well, he's pretty successful at what he does.
The biggest freak since Charles Woodson?
Yeah. And so it hasn't been like, oh, Travis Hunter blew up and then... you know, she's like just some gold digger that hasn't been with him. She was with him when he was just a lowly number one recruit in the country. All right.
I like
get
that
off
part
her back.
Of it. I like that part of it where she's like, she didn't get him when he blew up, just like when he blew up.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah. Like he was only the number one recruit in the country.
Yeah. And nowadays, if you're the number one recruit in the country, it's not like in the 80s where it's like, like just all of a sudden one day, Bear Bryant showed up at my high school and that's how I knew I could play at Alabama.
Yeah.
It's like, they're known.
I love how, like, athletes, they're like, oh, she's just in it for the money. As if, like, the dude who's an executive walking around with a trophy wife, not the same thing.
Yeah. No, 100%. It's like, 100%.
Who cares?
What?
Guess what Travis Hunter's doing? Outkicking his coverage. He doesn't look like Jimmy Garoppolo. He doesn't
Is he outkicking his coverage?
You know what? He doesn't look like Travis Hunter. Or, I mean, Charles Woodson, who you brought up earlier.
Right. Charles Woodson.
Charles Woodson, handsome man.
Very handsome.
Handsome man.
Yes.
You know?
As a bald man. Like, co-sign.
Dude, I don't care. Whatever.
Right.
As long as he's happy, whatever. And you don't think that Deion is in his ear? Hey, man, I know she's been with you for a long time. You get a prenup, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's part of the part of the game. And I think they both understand that.
100%. Or they're being smart about how they do it. By the way, you know Deion knows, because I've never seen a man run faster than when Deion's ex-wife rolled up.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He went back to old Atlanta playing days. Like, he was...
on senior day. Yeah.
Gone.
That
and
was
so
the thing.
If anyone understands the messiness of divorce...
Yeah,
it's one Deion Sanders.
Yeah, and there's so many people that are all caught up in all these famous people's love lives. It's like, love is dead. It's like, dude, half of marriages end in divorce anyways.
Right.
Like, so?
It's fine. You're supposed, like, I also wonder, and maybe this is just because I'm naive and I'm youngish.
Okay.
Do they really like each other in those famous relationships? Or is it just one of those things where it's like, this person gets it, I get it. Like, the ones that last.
They understand me.
Like, when I'm looking at Freddie Prinze Jr. and Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't think I knew those, did you?
No, I didn't.
So they were a Scooby-Doo. So when I know them, like that couple, they've been together forever.
Yeah.
Is it because that they're both cool with, like, not really being around their significant other? Like, they want to be in a relationship when they are together, it's nice, it's comforting, they support each other, but they also get that, like, free time, you know, where, like, they can go and pursue their own acting careers and stuff. Like, I don't think you can be one of those couples that, like, has to be together all the time and be a famous couple. It just, like, won't work because the other one has to do stuff.
No, there's a lot of people that are married, Will, that, like, travel for business all the time. They're gone a lot. I mean,
not all
of them end up on, like, Maury Povich with, like, he had a second family in Albuquerque and we never knew about it. Sometimes it just happens and, like, they do stay together. But I think that you are correct in that there's a lot of people that it's just like, you just don't understand. You know, normal people wouldn't understand my life. And you get it. You kind of get what goes into it and being in the public eye all the time. And, like, we see all the time how many of those, like, famous relationships, those famous relationships of, like, a celebrity who dates somebody who's not famous, you know, or they, like, are together and then one of them blows up and it's like they become rich and famous. It's like the other one was like, I didn't sign up for this.
Like,
and they're out.
Yeah.
So I think to your point, that happens quite often of, you know, you get me. You get what this is about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be gone a lot. You're going to be gone a lot. We're just going to be hot, make hot babies, and we're going to see what happens.
We'll be cool together at the end. Yeah, well, you're also talking to someone who, I don't know if you know this, teachers don't go on business trips, really.
Yeah, that's true.
So when both of my parents were teachers, there wasn't like, oh, hey, just so you know, like, dad's going to be gone for this weekend.
Sure.
Like, that didn't really happen.
Yeah.
It was...
yeah.
Teachers don't go on, they might go to like one conference like once a year.
Yeah. And it comes back with like a 3-day hangover.
I'll tell you what, if that did happen, I don't know that it happened at the Ortner household.
Great advice coming in on the text line, 503-864-6326, Vancouver Ford. Leading cause of divorce is marriage, Dusty. Be careful out there. Yeah, boy.
That is true.
That is the truth. 100% of divorces are a result of marriage.
You know what? Never been married. Never been divorced.
You're not going to become another statistic, bud.
I'm not going to get tricked.
You're not going to do that. You know? You're not going to become part of that 50%. That's not going to be Will Ortner.
Not here, dude.
Not anytime soon, at least.
Not with this drunk jogger money over here. That's what I got.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's right. Amazon Prime.
Yeah. Who needs that? Who needs marriage?
That's right.
Who needs somebody to tell you maybe you shouldn't order those joggers, pal?
You think I'm struggling? I bought shoes at Men's Warehouse the other day. Yeah. What up?
You don't want somebody telling you you need another pair of shoes, like an adult.
Well, no. Hold on. If they want to buy me shoes, I will have more shoes.
All right. That second income could be really good for you.
That's what I'm saying,
dude. You gotta find yourself a sugar mama, bud.
I've been looking at pandas, man. They look kind of cool. The shoes, not the animal. Okay. I think that would be okay in my apartment.
Animal trafficking is new.
No.
All right.
No, I'm not. I don't need the animal traffic. Right.
Well, I'm happy you're here.
Happy to be
Will Ortner in. Danny, sick. Rust, sick. In different ways, Will and I, sick.
We are sick.
Sick.
Do you like us, dude?
Yeah. We got a lot of sport that we can sport today, and non-sporting stuff, too. I saw the most Portland story of all time. That will be on our worst day on the web today. It does have a, obviously, local flair. It's Portlanding so hard. So hard. So we got that to discuss today. The NBA Cup happened last night, and I went against my word. I ran a poll. I'd like to get your vote on this.
I saw your poll.
Write me out. Are you watching the NBA Cup, the Scooter's Coffee Frisco Bowl, or Christmas movies?
I actually was watching the fourth option.
Oh.
Your Portland Winterhawks beating the Spokane Chiefs. That being said, shouts out Brody Gillespie. Old Hawkinson kid playing for the Chiefs. Had a decent little game.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, it was a good time. Winterhawks win, and Gillespie played well. That's a good day for Willard.
The results of the poll are in, and it turns out that the listening public, the voting public on Twitter, they cared about as much about the NBA Cup as, the Milwaukee Bucks did.
Hey, Dame finally won a championship.
Raise
finally
that banner.
Won a title.
They're going to raise a banner.
That's why he left Portland to go to Milwaukee and win a title. Good for him.
Christmas movies running away with it at 52%. The Frisco Bowl taking 25%, and then the NBA Cup, just 23% of the vote. Thought we would get more, but we'll have a little NBA Cup chatter because, boy, that ended with a thud, and it was an entertaining game. Dame gets his, he's not going to get a ring. What do they give you? They can give you like a watch?
Necklace, maybe?
You get a bonus, which Dame is giving away.
A bracelet. Just like the World Series of Poker.
Sure.
You get a bracelet.
Yeah, it's in Vegas.
Well, you know, this is why Dame left. He had to get that title. Yeah. That elusive title.
You're damn right.
Put him up with the greats.
Is Tyreek Hill trolling us? That's today. And then we got some college football playoff chatter that we need to get to. But where we got to start this bad boy off, dude, this is big news. And the ship is taking on water and everyone's looking for a life raft. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Very regal, the British Bulldog is. Wrestling Wednesday. As Kevin, the Orange O guy, points out, we are 4 weeks out from SmackDown coming to Portland.
Dude. Do you think that they'll want to see my old WWE tryout photos?
What?
Yeah, we've talked about this.
We have?
Yeah, I've tweeted them out before.
Oh, my gosh.
There was a run when I was in college. When I was in college, they were
When you
doing,
were fat?
Yeah, big fat Will Ortner. Oh, yeah, dude. And I wasn't, like, comfortable enough yet to go bald, so I have, like, crappy,
you had bad
little
hair.
It's bad.
You had bad hair.
Well, and it's not even, like, the bad, like, comb-over hair. Yeah. I'm basically bald, but I still left, like, a little one on the top.
Bro, that is ultimate 80s, 90s wrestler, though.
Oh, yeah.
You would have had a good vibe. You throw a mask over that head, and you have that moulet just flowing
hair
out the back. That would have been awesome.
Dude,
awesome.
I thought it was a good idea. They were doing the WWE, like, next in line or whatever. They reached out to someone that I knew, and I was like, well, hey, I'll fill out the link, too. In a shocking development, I was not asked.
Yeah, they weren't looking for that body, huh?
No, no. Yeah, do you think I'll have a better chance now?
Probably not.
No.
All right. We had big news today as it started percolating yesterday and it came to a head. Jake Dickert has taken the job at Wake Forest. And I know for Washington State fans, this one stings and this one hurts. Because it's really interesting to think about the way that this has kind of progressed, because there is a large swath of Washington State fans that were like, God, Dickert wasn't doing a good enough job anyways. You know, he's not the guy for the gig, blah, blah, blah. The reality of what Jake Dickert was he was stability to the Washington State program. And the way that everything has been playing out over the course of this year, you saw, and look, Washington State fans are like, oh, you know, 2 years in a row, they come out and they have a wicked hot start, and then they fizzle out at the end of the season. Well, football is a war of attrition. Can you beat attrition with your roster, and can you keep treading water and continue to win games? It happens. This was a really good year for Washington State. But think of everything that has gone against Washington State's program and their university over the last 18 months, and there is no ands, ifs, or buts about it. Jake Dickert did a really good job. This week, we start the week with the John Mateer news that he has entered the transfer portal. I thought Dickert handled it about as well as a coach that lost his best player could. He spoke about the realities of where Washington State is in the landscape of college football. He talked about the way that the calendar is set up and how unfair it is to coaches and that it needs to be fixed. And he also was understanding of John Mateer looking out for his best interest, because it's a program that just can't pony up the money that, if you believe the $3 to $3.5 million that is being floated out there for Oklahoma, that's a good chunk of change. Yeah, John Mateer, like, I thought Dickert handled it very well. Maybe he was handling that well because he was looking out for his best interests too and eyeing another job. All the while, Mateer's leaving and all these guys are entering the portal as they're trying to get ready for a bowl game. Dave Clawson steps down at Wake Forest. He resigned and is taking a advisory role in the Wake Forest athletic department. And now you have this opening at Washington State, and this hurts, man. This hurts. You had a coach that he spoke of the commitment to development, the commitment to finding those diamonds in the rough and doing things the old way, if we're being quite honest, which we talk about the old way only a couple years ago, of you evaluate, you find guys that are underappreciated and under-recruited, you get them on campus, and you develop them. Well, now your roster, because you do that, goes and gets pillaged. If you are a head coach of a team like that, one, you're going to be very valuable on the open market. And two, how long can you do that, right? How long can you be okay with that? Somebody reaping the rewards of your work and your development. I think what hurts the most for Washington State fans is that it's Wake effing Forest that comes and takes your coach, right?
They're not supposed to be better than you.
No.
They weren't 2 years ago.
If it was, I mean, look at it. If it was a Big Ten school, even a school near the bottom of the Big Ten, or if it was a SEC school, yeah, you understand that. But you're talking about Wake, man. That's what hurts if you're Washington State. And, you know, the stone cold reality that has been setting in over the last 18 months of, now, the dissolving of the Pac-12 is hurting far more than you had the hopes that it would. And you knew it was going to get ugly. But the one thing that Washington State had, and this may be worse for them in the long run, is the fact that they had this opportunity where you had stability with Jake Dickert saying, no, I'm not leaving. I'm going to anchor down and I'm going to be here. And we're going to weather this storm and we're going to come out the other side. You have a good year. And then all of a sudden it's like, yep, he says deuces. Everybody else says deuces. Mm-hmm. They all start jumping off the ship and heading for the first life raft that they can take. guys like Ben Arbuckle, yeah, you understand that. It's your offensive coordinator taking a better job. That's it. Oklahoma going to pay you a lot better. It's in a power conference, and it's a prestigious job, and it's a step up from a coordinator. For your head coach to leave after saying how he wanted to, you know, be a part of the Palouse and, you know, make sure this thing stays on the rails, that hurts and that sucks. And I feel for Washington State. I feel for Oregon State. But for Washington State, you're almost in a worse position than Oregon State was. Because what Oregon State went through was at the first sign that, hey, this change is a-coming, Jonathan Smith goes, boom, out, I'm gone. They get in Trent Bray, and it's like, okay, well, we've already lowered the bar and lowered the standard.
Mm-hmm.
At Washington State, it was, no, we're going to have, we have our guy, he's going to stay here, we're going to keep churning right along. Does really well. Your AD leaves. Now your head coach leaves, and now you enter year two in this limbo phase. That's a really important year for like the stability, and if the Pac-12 survives, what that looks like from an athletic department standpoint. Now you are behind the eight ball a little bit more, because at least at Oregon State, they had that stability of Trent Bray stepped in. They knew from the jump this was going to be the guy that's going to lead us through this tumultuous time. Who's it going to be at Washington State? Because is Washington State, with the way that the Mountain West has gone, is it a better job? Because a lot of those schools in the Mountain West are now joining the Pac-12 or have the hopes of joining the Pac-12.
Well, when I look at WSU now, and Oregon State kind of falls into the same category, you have to find your version of Chris Peterson or understand that this is what's going to be the new norm. Grab a young hotshot OC that hasn't had an opportunity yet to be a head coach, or maybe you grab them a year or two too early and then hope that they turn into, you know, the next big name, the next big thing, the next Mountain West Pac, unfortunately now it's Pac-12, but, you know, that group of five head coach that you got them early, they're there for three or four, and then they leave. It's kind of the same thing with the players. Like, you either have to find a special player that wants to stay there forever, or understand that, hey, once your guy is good for a year, they're gone. Because this is back-to-back years where you've had a quarterback where they were freaking awesome. And then they left for a better spot. And I don't blame them for leaving for a better spot.
No.
Because it's better for their career in the long run, whether they make it to the NFL or not. Whether Cam Ward or John Mateer make it to the NFL, they did right by themselves and got their money. And they should do right by themselves. Because I'll tell you right now, Dickert left because, unfortunately, nowadays, Wake Forest is a better job.
It's a way better job.
It's
right
in
now.
A Power Four conference.
And I think that cold reality is the one that hurts the most.
It's taking the step back.
For Washington State now, there's a whole lot more that lies ahead that is a big issue. We saw this with Marshall. Do we see it with Washington State? That after Will with SportsCenter.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
Ortner and Dusty edition of Danny and Dusty. Danny sick, Russ sick. We're rolling on. We're talking about Jake Dickert. He has been hired as Wake Forest's head football coach. Feels like the ship has taken on too much water at this point. Yeah, Washington State, and everybody's finding a life raft. And this is an interesting position to be in. It's an unenvious position. I feel for Washington State fans, man. This sucks. It sucks. It sucks for the Beavs. Sucks for the Cougs that they were the ones on the outside looking in, especially when you think about, you know, Arizona State, a team that's in the college football playoff this year. Washington State and Oregon State had been better programs over the last 5 years.
Last 10. That's 15.
I'm not going to go there with Oregon State because Gary Anderson.
I guess that's true.
Run was really bad.
I forget about the Gary Anderson years. I pretend really they don't exist, just like the other Beaver fans.
It was really bad. But to see the successes of those teams, you know, finding those landing spots and in having that success. But Washington State, yeah, you could say the last 15. Yes. But here's the thing with Washington State is that they're in a really precarious position. They play Syracuse in the Holiday Bowl coming up. When we were at Army-Navy over this past weekend, like, it was popping up during the Army-Navy game that Marshall was not going to be able to play in the Independence Bowl. And that they were going to have to find a new team. And they found Louisiana Tech to play. The reason why Marshall couldn't play in the Independence Bowl is because Charles Huff, their head coach, took the Southern Miss job and 29 guys entered the portal and followed him right out of town.
To be fair to Huff.
To be fair.
He was out of contract. His contract was over. He had asked for an extension, and the school never gave it to him.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's not on Huff.
Yep.
That's on the school itself. They are paying. It's the, you know, F around, find out type deal. They didn't take care of their business. That's on the school.
Absolutely. But the Cougs may be in the same position, though, because let's take inventory of what has happened. Jake Dickert is gone to Wake Forest. You have also lost your offensive coordinator, your defensive coordinator, your quarterback's coach, and your running back's coach. 22 players, including the star, your star quarterback, who is the number one player in the transfer portal in all of college football right now, are all gone. You will be playing a game in a week, and you are missing so many pieces. Backing out, financially, that may cripple Washington State because that'd be like a $3 million hit to the giblets there on like a buyout clause. I don't know what the buyout is, but think about it. Like, this is a tough spot to be in because are you going to just throw the remaining players to the wolves and just say, nope, good luck, guys. We got to do this contractually. We're going to make some money off it. Like, is that fair to those players to do that? This is going to be an interesting next 24 to 48 hours for Washington State's football program because also there's guys that you would be willing to target and that would be good fits that are already getting swooped up. One of them being Brennan Marion, the offensive coordinator at UNLV who just took the head coach job at Sacramento State, right? That was a guy, if this happens, you know, a week ago with Dickert, maybe you get Brennan Marion in and you have some time to smooth this thing over. He's a bright offensive mind, runs this offense called the Go-Go offense. That
it's fun.
It's a lot of fun.
Fun. It's why UNLV's been, well, and Odom's defense, but it's why they've been good.
But he would be a temporary guy, right? Because if you hire the right guy, reality is probably going to be gone in a couple of years. But what does Washington State do in the short term? How do you patchwork this thing together in the short term? And that is going to be the interesting part for Washington State. And it sucks, man. There's no other way about it.
It sucks. And it sucks because at one point you were better than Wake Forest. But I don't think that you back out of this game because it allows you... It's good for the school. Is it fair to the kids that are playing in it? No, 100% not. It's not fair to the other coaches, but it gets you an opportunity to get young guys playing time, and you just have to view it more like you would view a spring game. Like, I think if you're a WSU type team and you have a good, not great year, all of a sudden you kind of view these bowl games as spring ball again.
Yeah,
that's the way you have to view it, because if all of your best players are going to leave, right, they're either going to leave because they're going to hit the portal, or they're going to leave because they're going to get ready for the NFL draft because they don't care about the Pop-Tarts Bowl or the Duke's Mayo Bowl or the Potato Bowl or whatever stupid bowl game you throw in here. I think it just becomes new spring ball. You get 2 to 3 weeks where you get to practice with your team again. Open it all up, man. Like, if you have a guy who's been a true starter, yeah, that guy's a true starter. They're staying in. They earn this opportunity to start in the bowl game. But if I'm WSU and I have two young QBs, maybe they each get a half. You know, maybe they each they get one quarter and then the other one gets the second quarter. And then you ride the hot hand through the half.
You need to be throwing out a call to Fran Brown at Syracuse, though, and be like, dude, these dogs need to be called off early.
Well, and
that's the problem.
And yes, that's unfortunate for us.
Because you're playing somebody else that is like, we can put up a 60 burger on you.
But this is also the problem with college football and the timeline that it has now. You have free agency period start before your season ends.
Yeah, we talked a lot about that, and it's a horrible... They're going to fix the calendar once the House settlement in April is finalized. Because that will take care of a lot of the issues that is happening around college football, because right now you have to be in school, you have to be, you know, transfer before winter break, winter term starts, or you know, your spring term if you're in semesters. That's going to be smoothed over because these guys are going to be employees now.
No, 100%.
And you're going to have to be in school, but you'll be able to back off a little bit, and we can move the transfer window out a little bit.
And that's how it should be. Yep. But right now it is what it is. So use it as spring ball. You can sit here and complain about your lot in life. Like, unfortunately for you.
They should. And today is the day to complain about it. Like,
if I'm in that building, though, I'm not. Like,
oh no, if you're in the building, you can't.
There's a coordinator now that gets to try to be a head coach. And it's unfortunate for them because their DC, they fired him. So he's not there. Your OC left and your head coach is gone. So now it's a position coach. Yeah. But now it's your opportunity where you get to show someone for a week-long period you have what it takes. Now there's, you know, a wide receiver coach that gets to call the passing game. Now there's an O-line coach that gets to call the run game. Like, you can sit here as a fan, and you should complain about what's happening to you because it sucks. I have a good buddy who he runs like an Instagram page, The Couch GM. It's great. He has a bunch of stuff on there about, he's a WSU grad, so he has a bunch of stuff about how he's upset right now. He's upset that Mateer left. He's upset that Dickert's leaving. He's upset with how much NIL that the Cougar Collective was able to raise, and he's gone into a deep dive on it, and he's upset, and he should be. But if you are a player in that building, don't be upset. No. This is your opportunity. If I'm the backup quarterback to Mateer, now it's my time to shine. Now,
well,
I
of course, yeah, those guys.
And you have to view it that way. If you don't view it that way.
For players, yeah.
And 100%. Coaches. Because if you don't view it that way, then this is just a waste, and you're wasting your time.
The only issue with that is that I think a lot of these guys are just looking for their life raft at this point. Because
here's the best way to get yours.
When your coaches leave, when your best players leave, that's the way they go. Text on the Vancouver 4 text line. As a UW fan, I had a ton of sympathy for Washington State after everything went down. Was hoping and praying they ended up in a power conference. However, their attitude and victim mindset has wasted all that goodwill built up. They're blaming UW for all their problems when there are about 1,000 other entities that should be higher on that blame list, especially after they turned around and raided other teams at the same time. They were playing the holier-than-thou card. Look, they're Oregon State and Washington State fans, they are bitter and they're upset, and I don't blame them one bit. But there is an element to what that texture says, though, of the idea that everybody turned their back on you and you guys were left hanging. That's just not the case. Because quite literally every other team in the conference, every school in the Pac-12 figured out a backup plan.
Right.
And they didn't. And you can say everything in the world, but when every other school finds a landing spot, that's on your administration. Yeah. That is the schools that you're holding on too much to the idea that we're gonna back the pack. No, it's a business, and everybody else read the room and saw that the Pac-12 was not in a good spot. The Pac-12 was crumbling, and we've been over this several times before. Whether it is Kirk Schultz or formerly Ed Ray at Oregon State, Michael Crow down at Arizona State, those were the guys that backed the Pac-12's leadership the strongest for the longest time.
And they shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm. Because the leadership of the Pac-12 ran it into the ground, and there is every other team or every other school in the Pac-12 conference, they got their ducks in a row, and they figured out a path moving forward. And the reality was, the path for Oregon State and Washington State was never going to be the path that Oregon and Washington took because of their brands, their strength, and where they are from athletic departments top to bottom.
Yeah. Well,
and that sucks. And look, is it because for Oregon, Phil Knight play a big for Washington, is it because, you know, whether it's their big boosters like the Nordstrom family or whatever? That mattered. But there's also the idea that those universities got their hooks into their billionaires that were invested and into athletics. And that, if you, you weren't, that's, that sucks. And that, that's too bad, but that's life too, right?
Right. Well, it, at the end of the day,
sucks.
At the end of the day too, it's a, it's worse for WSU fans and Oregon State fans because there was a point where it was stacked in your favor.
Can I just say, too, a Coug fan being holier than thou, I've never come across that in my life.
No, Coug fans are the opposite of holier than thou.
Yeah.
Definitely a lot. In fact,
scorned? Yeah.
You know who
sure.
might be the holier than thou? It's going to be the UW fan.
There's a little bit of that.
It's, you know, when I think of holier than thou, I don't. My mind doesn't go to Pullman, Washington. Let's just say that.
You know who wants to be the coach of Washington State, and I'm here for it? If we're going to get weird, let's get really weird.
Rolo.
No, Mo. No. Oh, no. You're not bringing Nick Rolovich back. No. Max Borgi.
Ooh.
Borgi tweeted out.
Is he coaching somewhere?
No, I don't think so. Let me take over the ship. I know a few guys who know ball and care about the future of Washington State football. DMs are open, Ann McCoy. Hell yeah. Let's go. Just
that would be,
if you,
that's a route to go.
If you were to tell me Max Borgi is the interim coach for the Holiday Bowl, let's go. But what's the worst that's going to happen?
Well,
you just bring in a bunch of former Cougs and you say, guys, you guys prove to this team what it means to be a Coug, right? Like it, this could go completely sideways.
Right.
Just get weird.
Think about it, though. Not just for the bowl game, though. That's a path you can go down to. If you want a coach that's going to stay there long term, get someone whose highest aspiration is Pullman, Washington. Like, Oregon State kind of thinks that they got that with Trent Bray. And there's some issues with how this season went for Oregon State fans, 100%. But also at the same time, you have to factor in the injury issues that you had, because aside from maybe the Detroit Lions, no one had more injuries this year. But that's a route to go down too. Go grab former WSU players.
Yep.
Go grab alumni who are upset with your lot in life, and then just understand that, hey, every, you know, if everything works according to plan, every 2 to 3 years, we get to be amazing. Every 2 or 3 years, maybe 4 to 5, we get a special season.
Yep.
And we're just going to have to be okay with that.
Yeah, there's a text that comes in. You think the small markets of Corvallis and Pullman had nothing to do with it? Come on, Duck Honk. The major media market of Eugene wasn't the allure for the Big Ten. That's what I'm saying. It wasn't.
As someone who's lived in Eugene.
No, it's marketing. It is it's the brand of that Oregon
ducks.
Built. And a lot of that has to do with money.
Yeah, like, I mean, think about it. If they had an inflatable beaver or a cougar, where would those programs be?
Yeah, that's the reason why. That's the reason why. Look, it sucks. There's a lot of hurt feelings here. And I get it. And that's okay. That's what today's for. Dude, today is the day you lash out. And I get it, but don't let the emotions look at what the facts of how all of this happened.
Treat it like a bad breakup. Look at the end of Dickert's last 2 years. You can get better than that.
Right.
You can do better.
Right. All right. 503-864-6326. That's fan text line. Hey, when you get a guy who's playing like this and he is so in his bag, Josh Allen is special. Danny Dusty on the Fan.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
All right, we'll go circle back to State of the Cougs, how they build this thing forward. We have Beeb Fan text in too. This is like, bring Borgi in. Let's go the Borgi route. I'm all in on the Borgi route. Although he doesn't have any coaching experience, just what do you got?
Make Leaf the OC.
Just come.
Find the great, like.
No, you pull Alex Brink out of the booth and you put him just playing calls, calling plays. You bring Brink down there, you get Borgi back.
Who's Wazoo's Barry Alvarez?
Mike Price.
You bring Mike. Well, no. Is Mike Price still around?
Yeah. I think he's down in El Paso.
Is there someone that they can go and grab
that
would be their version of Barry Alvarez or Stoops when he came back and coached at Oklahoma?
No, that would have been, rest in peace,
Dennis Erickson
should be in the College Football Hall of Fame It should be Mike Leach. Oh, Dennis Erickson would be a good
What's
one.
Dennis Erickson doing? Can you go grab him and just be like, hey, just need you for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Need you to coach some football. We're not going to ask you to do much. We're going to pay your fee. We can take care of you. And it'd be funny if you won.
Let's go.
And if you lose, who cares?
All right. Josh Allen is playing at more than an MVP level right now. Like, he is playing out of this world. And there is the statistics. You can do the stat comps and you can say, well, he's got the third best stats. It's the plays that he makes and just the ease with which he's playing the game that makes him the most valuable player. But when you get guys that are in their bag like Josh Allen is right now, it's incredible to watch. This is like usually what we see of Patrick Mahomes. We haven't seen it this year from Patrick Mahomes. It is the best of Brady, the best of Drew Brees, the best of Peyton Manning. When a quarterback is so dialed in, he can do whatever he wants, and you watch the game, you're like, dude, he makes this game look easy. And it's the hardest position to play in any sport. That is when you're like, yep, that's our MVP. We got a mic'd up moment from NFL Films of just how special this Josh Allen season is.
That's Shakir with the Buffalo touchdown.
This is going to be a throwing touchdown.
It is a touchdown pass.
Thought that was supposed to be a handoff.
Hey, wait,
did he say he was pitching it in the huddle?
He asked me. He said right before, he said, what you want?
Oh, is your call? So I'll talk.
Did you pitch that one?
I asked Lil. He said he wanted to pitch it. Sorry.
Sure.
I gave you two rushings today already.
I love you.
Think of how great that is. Josh Allen on the shovel pass to Khalil Shakir in the huddle asked him, hey, do you want a rushing touchdown or do you want a receiving touchdown on this? All week long, that run play or that pass play against Detroit had been repped as an underneath handoff to Khalil Shakir, a counter handoff coming back the other way. But you have a quarterback that is so in his bag, and I don't think people understand how difficult this is for a guy, even a professional, to do. You rep something all week long. Your footwork work is dialed in all week long or all season long to be a handoff. To have the timing and just like the calm to make it a shovel pass, it's actually a lot harder than what people will give that credit for. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen is in his bag, though, and was like, you know what? I'm going to ask him, you want this to be a shovel pass? You want a receiving touchdown or you want a rushing touchdown? Which one you want? Helps Josh Allen's stats, too, because that three-yard shovel pass is now a passing touchdown.
He wanted it to be a pass. Don't, like, sit
that is
there.
Beautiful, though.
That's the ultimate, like, do you want to go to Victor Rico's for dinner? Because that's where Dusty wants to go.
You're right.
That's 100% what he's doing there. He wants you. What's Shakir going to be like? No, give me the ball, Josh. Like, no.
He just wants touchdown. But you also have to understand you have bonuses for a lot of these guys. Not just total touchdowns. It's how many receiving touchdowns do you have? How many total touchdowns do you have? Receptions, bonuses, stuff like that. This is the type of year. But they did that against a 12-2 team.
Yeah.
Dominated. I love watching Josh Allen right now.
I have his stats pulled up since he got engaged.
Ooh.
Are you ready for this?
Josh Allen.
Dude, it's engaged Josh Allen versus Jordan Love Toyotathon.
Okay.
Josh Allen, over his last three games since he got engaged to actress / singer Haley Steinfeld.
Okay.
123.9 passer rating. 852 passing yards, 7 passing touchdowns.
Hell yeah.
He's had 0 interceptions, 168 rushing yards.
Pretty good.
6 rushing touchdowns, 13 total touchdowns from Allen since he got engaged. Is this the X factor in pushing him forward? Usually the girl takes away.
So, hey, his powers have been enhanced. You know what that tells me?
He always needed the ring.
No, true love, man.
Lantern.
True love. This is true love feeling him right now.
That's not ending in divorce. That celebrity power couple, they're not ending in divorce.
No.
100%. That's crazy, though.
Or when the breakup happens, that's when we can jump off of Josh Allen's career.
He takes a step back.
He's going to take a big step back that way. All right. Hour number one is in the books. Hour number two, we got our worst day on the web. A lot of local flair to it. We have college football that we need to jump into as well. But big news out of the NFL yesterday, a $62.5 million mistake next on The Fan.